Good afternoon, everybody. Shalom Aleichem. People can hear me. Am I muted?
We can hear you.
Okay. Thank you. I think yesterday I started saying something in the name of Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, which I didn't complete. He said that there are three dinim that depend on three times, and all three are not correct. So one of them was that many communities have the minig that the last three tanesim before a child becomes bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, so the parents insist that they should fast. He said this is not correct, because the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Haskamas Kol Achrayim, then on Shivasa B'tamis, some Gedalia Sora B'tevis, the Ktanim do not observe the Tainis. Tisha B'Av also not. Only Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the exception to the rule, because that's a Mishnah in the end of Yuma. And Yom Kippur, it's not the last three Tanesim before. It's the last two, if he's healthy, if he's up to it, the last 2 years before Bar Mitzvah, the child should fast the whole day. And the 2 years before, 2 years before, should fast a half a day. So this whole idea of three times before is really a mistake. And then he said another two things, that people have the attitude that after one goes to the bathroom, he has to wash his hands three times. He says there is no such din. If your hands are dirty, you have to wash more than three times. And your hands are not so dirty, you can wash less than three times. And the third din that people make a mistake, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it and others quote it, then when people are sitting shiva and you borrow a sefer Torah from the shul, so people have the meaning that you have to see to it that you're laying three times on the sefer Torah. So the Mishnah Berurah says that that's a mistake, that even if you go laying three times, it's not proper to take a sefer Torah from the shul unless you're going to hold it in an Aron Kodesh. The Chevra Kadisha has small, portable Aronis HaKodesh, so that then it's okay, even if you're not going to lay three times. And even if you are going to lay three times, if you're just going to hold the Sefer Torah in the top of a closet or something, it's not going to be in Aron Kodesh. That's not right. So that's what they quote from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that the three dinim that depend on three times, all three are incorrect, that they don't exist. Okay, yesterday we were speaking a little bit. The Mishnah Berurah has an original Chiddush that Kohen, who's Mechal Shabbos, but for Hesed Dina Ka'akum, so we wouldn't permit him to Duchen. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this. I think he paskens against the Mishnah Berurah. And I think Rav Soloveitchik said the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, his father also. He said, if the din would have depended on Mumra Sagavra, that one who's a Kohen, who's a Mumra, Lavoidazara, is not allowed to be makriv karbonis in the Beis HaMikdosh, and not allowed to duchen, then we would have said that a mumer l'chal Shabbos dina ka'akum, he has the same degree of mumer as an oibir avodazara. But you see from the Gemara that the din applies even to kelim. The Gemara avodazara, now Daf Nun Beis says, the kelim that were used for avodazara purposes, when the Chashmonaim took over the Beis HaMikdash, they made a whole rebellion against those that were running. They were using the Beis HaMikdash for Avodah Zarah purposes. So the Gemara says, because the Mizbech was used for Avodah Zarah, it became possible to use it for Mizbeach, for Beis HaMikdash. So they had to make a new Mizbech, and they had to make a new menorah. So the So you can't say that the kelim are mumra. The kelim are not actively involved in doing any avodah zarah. They're being used by human beings, but they're not mumra. So you see that the whole, and then the din is even if the kohen did the tshuva after worshiping avodah zarah, also we wouldn't permit him to be makar karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. So you see from the fact that kelim are posel, even after he does tshuva is posel, see it doesn't depend on mumra sagavra. It depends on, it's ma'os lagavoya. So that was the taina that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik had, who says that Mumra L'chal Shabbos has the same degree of Ma'us L'Gavoya as one who is involved in actually worshipping Avodah Zarah. Maybe Ma'us L'Gavoya is only Avodah Zarah. How do you know that that L'chal Shabbos Befer Hesya should be the same? This was his taina. Today, Bechlal, there's a question. The din of Muma, the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Hey, has this din. Muma l'chal Shabbos b'frehesia, dina k'ovid avodah zarah. But that's only b'frehesia. It's not enough if he's machal Shabbos b'mezid. Hasbim Chal Shabbos Befer Hesim. Befer Hesim means number one, the Mezid, and number two, that he's breaking the discipline in the community. Befer Hesim means he's breaking the discipline in the community. So the Binyan Zion was Rabbi Yanke Bettlinger was a rabbi in Germany at the beginning of the Reform movement, and he said, and the Chazanish has like that, and in between the Binyan Zion, Chazanish, and the others say the same, that this concept of Mechal Shabbos Befer Hesia doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh. So many Jews are not Sabbath observant. So how can you say it's the Orthodox who are breaking the discipline? Most of the Jews are not Shomer Shabbos. The Orthodox are less than half of the Jewish population. So you can't say that the Jew is Mechal Shabbos, is considered Mechal Shabbos Befer Hesia. He's not breaking the discipline if most Jews are not Shomer Shabbos. That's one point, whether the whole status of Mechal Shabbos Befer Hesia, Dina Kakam, applies Bisman Hazem. That's the Binyan Zion and and the Chazon Ish, right, like that. There was the Minkacha, as Chubis. What's the name of his Chubis? Mincha Salazar. Nachon. So the Mincha Saluzer, the way they pronounce it, Mincha Saluzer has a tshuva where he disagrees with the Binyan Zion. He says, why should you say that there's no Mechal Shabbos V'Hesi B'Zman Hazeh? Maybe a Munkach, at the time of the First World War, the overwhelming majority of the Jews were Shomer Shabbos. The Binyan Zion was writing in Germany, where so many Jews were Reformed, and they weren't observing Shabbos. And the Chazon Ish lived in Lithuania, where the other person was Mechal Shabbos. Many people lived in Vilna, he lived in Lithuania. So with so many people Mechal Shabbos, maybe a Munkach, overwhelming majority were Shomer Shabbos, and the one who would be Mechal Shabbos, Bifra Hesu, that could be breaking the discipline. Depends which community. But that's the idea behind Mechal Shabbos, Bifra Hesu. It's something much more than B'mezid. Truth of the matter is, though, that there is a question, even if you hold with the Taina of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that this din, that a Kohen Sheoved Avodah Zarah is possible to do Hakrovas Hakrabonis, and he should really be possible to Duchen, even if you hold, like he said, that it's not a din in Mormas Hagavra, it's rather a din in Moos Lagavoya, there's still room to argue the point and say that if a Kohen is a Mechal Shabbos Befer Hesia, if you would have a situation where it would be Befer Hesia, and you would say the Dina Ka'akum, then Itaka should not be able to Duchen, because in order to be a Kohen, you have to first be a human being. That sounds a little humorous, but the Chacham Tzvi has a tshuva where they quote this in Orachaim. I think it's Simen Nun Hey, is the Simen, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's Simen Nun Hey, where it says after Karbonis, somebody says Kaddish Derabbanan. Then it says after Pesuka Dezimra, after Yishtabach, the Chazan should get up and say Kaddish. So they have a whole Simen in Shulchan Aruch, who reciting a Kaddish constitutes a Dovah Shebikdusha, and the Mishnah Megillah says that you can only recite the Dovah Shebikdusha, Kedusha Baruch Hu, can only recite it if you have a minion of 10 people. So the Chacham, so the Behetiv there, on the bottom of the page, Behetiv quotes the Chacham Tzvi, who has a suffix, whether if someone created a Goylem. Chacham Tzvi says that they say that his grandfather was a big tzaddik, and the legend has it, or the story has it, that he created a Goylem. So he doesn't mention about the Maharal Prague. I think that story was invented, that Baba Maisa was invented in the 1900s. That story didn't exist when the Chacham Tzvi lived in the 1700s. So and Maharal Prague lived before that. Maharal Prague lived in the 1500s. So the Chacham Tzvi has a suffix. If one created a Golem, is he mitzarf to a minion? What's the Shaila? It's a funny question. So he says, because we have, his mother wasn't Jewish. Usually a person is Jewish because he's born to a Jewish mother. There's a machlok satanoim. What if there's a mixed marriage? What's the status of the children? So one opinion, there used to be three different opinions. whether the way we paskin all depends on the mother. If the mother's Jewish, there's one opinion you need both the father and the mother to be Jewish. And then there was one opinion like the Reform that either the father or the mother was Jewish, the child will be Jewish. These other two opinions were outvoted 2,000 years ago. And the Mishnah only quotes the opinion that all depends on the mother. That's the accepted opinion. So upon the one creates a goylem, so he didn't have a Jewish mother, so how can he possibly be Jewish? So the Chacham Tzvi raises the possibility, since the Gemara has the statement, Kol ha-megadol yasa metoch besa ma'la lavakosav kilu yelodo. I think that's the Gemara in the second parak in Sanhedrin. So here, it's more than megadol yasa metoch besa. Here he created the goylem. So maybe because he created the goylem, maybe the goylem should have a Kedushas Yisrael, and they should be mitzarf to a minyan. It's a funny question. If you adopt a non-Jewish baby and you don't convert him, and you megadol yosem b'soch beisa, he's going to be Jewish. Megadol yosem is not enough to make him Jewish. It's very strange. So the Behetiv quotes this suffix from the Chacham Tzvi. So the Chazon Ish has a famous comment on this. So he quotes a Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that Rava bara gavra. Rava once created a goylem. Rava knew sefi yitzira. And if you know what it says in Sefer Yetzirah, it tells you how you can make a human being. So he wanted to carry on a conversation with the Golem that he created. The Golem wasn't able to speak. And so Rava decided he has no use for this Golem, so he killed him. So if the Golem is a human being, how are you allowed to kill him even if he's not Jewish? You see from the Gemara, the Golem is like an animal, like a behemoth. He doesn't have the din of a human being at all. So how can he be mitzar from Tominion? He's not even a human being. He can't be Jewish. So in order to be a Kohen, first you have to be a human being. That's number one. If you're a Golem and not a human being, then you have to be Jewish. You have to have a din of Kedushas Yisrael. Then you have to be from Shevet Levi. Then on top of that, you have to have Kedushas Kuna. Not everybody in Shevet Levi is a Kohen. So you have to have the first step and the second step and the third step. First to be a human being, then to be Kedushas Yisrael, then to be Shevet Levi. And then you can discuss whether he has a din of a kohen or not. So if a kohen is mechal shalos v'ferhesia in such a way that he really is a mum adina ka'akum, so his kedushas yisrael is incomplete. If he really is b'ferhesia, okay, the Chazon Ish and the Binyan Tzion say b'zman hazeh, because there's so many reform and the conservative who don't observe Shabbos, we wouldn't consider anybody mechal shalos b'ferhesia. Maybe it's b'mezid, but it's not b'ferhesia. So, but if you would have a situation. If you would have a situation, maybe in Bnei Brak, I don't know, maybe in some community where almost everybody is Shomer Shabbos, so then maybe the one who would be Mechal Shabbos would be Mechal Shabbos b'fer Hesya. And if it's Dina Ka'akum, then the Pashta says he can't go further. First, you have to be a human being. Then you have to be Jewish, a full din of Jewish. Then you have to be from Shevet Levi. And then on top of that, we'll decide whether you're a Kohen. But if you don't have a full din of a Yisrael, so how can you have a full din of a Kohen? So there is room to argue the point and to say that that what the Mishnah Berurah said is correct, that the Kohen who's Mechal Shabbos Befer Hesya, Dina Ka'akum, shouldn't duchen, or a person who's Mechal Shabbos Befer Hesya, is he allowed to eat from Korban Pesach? So you're not allowed to give Korban Pesach to a non-Jew, only to a Jewish person. So maybe this person is considered, his Jewishness is incomplete. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik tainted on what the Chafetz Chaim wrote on the Likutei Halachos and the Zevach Toida on Psochim. Then Mechal Shabbos Befer Hesya is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. How does he know? Maybe it's not dependent on, maybe Mishan Asnakam Maisav Lovim Shabbat Ben Necham. It means one worships Avodah Zarah. Not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. Maybe it's because Mos Lagavoya. How does he know that it's based on Mumris Agavra? Maybe it is based on Mo'os Lagavoya. But even so, but if he doesn't have a full Din Yisrael, so then maybe you're not allowed to meet Korban Pesach. Not so posh at the Taina that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik had against the Chafetz Chaim and the Likutei Halachos and against the Mishnah Berurah with respect to Duchenim. Yesterday we left off in the middle of the Tosfos on the Gimel Amud Beis. Tosfos Dima Mascha Bano Achilno. The Gemara tells a story that there was Hahu Aramor, the famous story on Gimel Amud Beis. There was a Nochri who was bragging to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beser, who lived in Etzivim, far away from Yerushalayim. He was bragging that he fooled all the rabbis in Yerushalayim, that he knows that it says in the Torah called Banei Chalayochal Bo, a non-Jew is not permitted to eat Korban Pesach. And every year he goes to Yerushalayim and he fools them into believing that he's Jewish and they give him Korban Pesach. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra figured out a way how to trap him. There was no telephone and there was no telegraph. So and he himself didn't go to Yerushalayim. And there was no mail delivery. So I was going to notify the people in Yerushalayim that this fellow is a Nochri. So he asks the Nochri, did they ever give you the alya, the fatty part? So he says, no. So he says, because they know that you're not Jewish. Next time you ask for the alya, you see that they know you're Jewish, they're not going to give you. The next time he's there, he asks for the alya. They say, what are you crazy? The alya is burnt on the Mizbech. Nobody eats alya. He says, no. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra told me I should ask for the alya. So they thought it was very strange. Why Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra tell him to ask for the alya? So they investigated. They found out he was a Nochri and Bekotlu. Very strange, Bekotlu. So we spoke about the whole story yesterday. So Tosfos talks about this aspect. Why did they trust him? Why did they believe him from the very beginning? A person is believed to say that he's Jewish. That's a question. Do you believe a person when he says that he's Jewish? So we mentioned yesterday the Machne Ephraim, who disagreed with the Rambam. The Rambam writes that Eid Echad is Neman to establish that a woman is a Grusha, Zayna v'Chalola, that she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. And if she goes and she marries a Kohen, and then two Eidim warn the Kohen, don't live with this woman, you're going to get Malkus. So since Eid Echad is Neman, the famous Rambam writes, Halisa Ratzma be'Eid Echad Yuchzak, Eid Echad is Neman be'Isurim. So the Eid Echad has established that this woman is indeed a Grusha, Zayna, or a Chalola. So that has been established. And then even though you don't have two Eidim in that, only Eid Echad, that's all you need is Eid Echad. Then if you have two Eidim who say that we warn them, don't be together, we're going to give you Malkus, then you can give Malkus based on that. So the Machne Ephraim finds that very difficult. He says, from the Gemara would appear that whatever you made on a person, when you made on a Chaticha, that this is Shuman, this is Chelev, this is Nevela, okay, so that's Eid Echad, this is Kshera. Then you say Eid Echad, but if you made on a person, that a person is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, that's the opening Mishnah in Makkos. Then the Tosefta says, you made on a person, the person is a Mamzer. So you need two Kosher Eidim for that. That's why the Mishnah and the Tosefta discuss the possibility of Kosher Zomam in such a case. The Nesivis has a Yesoid in Simon Lamed Ches, I think is the last Simon Hilchus Eidus. It's all about Eidim Zomimim. Eidim Zomim hardly applies Bizman Hazeh. We don't give any kashazam, we don't have any smuchim. So there's a little bit in Shulchan Aruch about Eidim Zayimim. So the Tzoy Sachoshin has a shaila whether there would be a din of Eid Echad, would there be a din of kashazamam in the case of Eid Echad, then be certain. For example, let's say I'm away on vacation and I come back, I'm coming back to New York this afternoon, and my next neighbor tells me, oh, all the wine in the house, a Nochri walked into the house and was menasach all the wine. All the wine is treif. When did this happen? She says, it happened yesterday. She was there yesterday, happened yesterday. And then we find out, Adam come and they say, she wasn't even there yesterday. She was by her daughter in Pesach over Shabbos. So she doesn't know what she's talking about. So if the Eid Echad, my next door neighbor is an Eid Echad, to tell me that the wine is treif. But then when Mazim heard that she wasn't even there, she doesn't know what she's talking about. So would there be a din of kasher zama? Would the next neighbor have to pay? The next neighbor is trying to be mafsid me. All the bottles of wine. She says, all the open bottles of wine. And Nochri was menasech. So I have to pour out all the wine. So would there be a punishment of kasher zama? So the Tzai Sachoshin raises this question. So the Nesivis writes over there, he thinks that it's a mistake, that the din of kasher zama only applies to hine eight sheker ho eight sheker on the biachiv. Only a whole parsha of kasher zama only applies if it's a situation where you have aid, in a checker or aid. And the Gemara says on the first daf in Sotel, Kamakam Shinema, aid, Hare Kan Shnaim. Aid doesn't mean a witness, aid means a katav aidim, a pair of aidim. But in any case where aid echad is Nemen Bisurim and Kashrus, my next neighbor tells me all the wine became chayif, so that's not called aid. So even if you're Mazim, the next door neighbor, she was Iman Hayisim, she was in a different city. She doesn't know what happened at all over the weekend. It wouldn't be a din of kashazam. That's the chiddush of the Nesivis. So So from the fact that the Mishnah and the Tosefta discuss Kasher Zamam by Edom who testified Ben Grushim Echalutza, and the Tosefta discusses Kasher Zamam, a possibility, and we reject it. Possibility, Kasher Zamam, where witnesses testify that someone is a Mamzer. So you see that you need two Kasher Edom to say that someone is a Cholo. Eid Echud would not be Nam and Bisur. Why not? The same is by Soita. Eid Echud says the Ishta Chazinsa Zain and Neman. It's a Dov Shabiyarvum. So we say, whenever, that's what the Machne Ephraim explains, whenever one is testifying on a Chafzeh, that this is kosher, a treif, that's a Dechon HaMisur. Whenever one is testifying on a person, that the person is a Cholol, the person is a Mamza, the person is a Rusha Zayna Chalolo, or a Soita Asur Labailo, then you have to have two eight. So that's what we mentioned yesterday, that the Avnei Nezer sent a letter to the chief rabbi of England, Rabbi Nathan Adler, that he wrote a letter of approval for a kosher Pesach product that somebody from England was selling in Poland. So he writes in the letter, I know personally the owner of the factory, he's a very religious Jew, and he wouldn't give you any tray for food. So the Avnei Nezer says, that's not acceptable. If you tell me you know for a fact, you checked all the ingredients in the product and you know that it's kosher, that's Eid Echad HaMisur. And Eid Echad HaMisurim can testify b'ksav also. He doesn't have to, there's no din d'pirim adon p'ksavam. That's only when you need two kosher Eidim, by Mamanus and Nefashas, Dovish B'Yerva, then it's a din d'pirim adon p'ksavam. But if it's Eid Echad HaMisurim, so all the formalities don't apply. Eid Echad HaMisurim doesn't have to be b'fnei bezn. He tells me shalav b'fnei bezn. The butcher tells me that this is kosher meat. He tells me shalav b'fnei bezn. My wife tells me she bought the kosher meat in the butcher shop. So it's Eid Mipi, Eid Mipi, Eid Mipi, Eid. My wife tells me that she bought it at the kosher butcher shop. The butcher told her, it's self-understood, that he got it from, delivered from the slaughterhouse. The sheikh had said that it was kosher. The sheikh had told the people in the slaughterhouse that they can sell it as kosher meat. So it's Eid Mipi, Eid Mipi, Eid Mipi, Eid. And that's good. Everything is good by Eid Echad HaMisurim. If the din would have required Hagodah status b'fnei bezn, then Eid Mipi Eid wouldn't be good because the first Eid said Chutz LeBezen, so it wouldn't be good. By Mamonis and Nefashis and Dov Shabiyev, Eid Mipi Eid is no good unless the first Eid said it BeBezen. Each Eid has to say BeBezen. So that's what the Avnei Nezer sent a letter to the chief rabbi. He quoted Chidusha Rabbi Kiveger Am Mishnayis, the beginning of the second parak in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The name of the parak is Imei Makirim Oso. And the Mishnah says, we mentioned yesterday, that when the Tzedukim during the period of the Bais Sheni wanted to foul up the whole system of Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Ariya, because they didn't hold from the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Chumash doesn't say Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Ariya. It's all a tradition of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So they didn't hold from that. So they sent false witnesses to testify falsely that they saw the moon, to foul up the whole system. So the Chachamim, when they realized what's going on, so the Rabbanim adopted the policy. So that Rosh Chodesh that they declared incorrectly, one day is Rosh Chodesh, b'di'evit itzchak. That's the din. Atem afilu mizidin, atem afilu mutam, atem afilu shogim. The pasuk says in Parsha Samor, the pasuk appears three times. Elam ayad Hashem, ashetikro osam mikroi kodesh. So the word osam is normally spelled with a vav. And there all three times is spelled without a vav. So the Gemara darshens it, Torah Shabbat Peh darshens it, as if it were written, Atem, Ashatiku Atem, Atem Afilu Mizidin, even a Bezin on purpose declares the wrong day as Rosh Chodesh. You can't have a month with less than 29 days or more than 30 days. You can't have a year of less than 12 months or more than 13 months. But within that framework, they can make a Shonim Uberis even though it doesn't really need it, even though the year doesn't really have to be a Shonim Uberis. Even if they did it on purpose, even if they were fooled by false witnesses, that's a din. Atam afilu shogigem, atam afilu mutam, atam afilu mizidin, that the Kiddush HaChodesh is good, but the Rambam didn't want that. So they adopted a policy, from now on, we will only accept testimony of witnesses whom we recognize as Orthodox Jews. Meim akirim osam, if we don't recognize who the witness is, we're not going to accept his testimony. So when the witnesses who know that the Bezin doesn't know who they are, when Orthodox witnesses will want to travel to say to Yerushalayim, to tell the Bezin in charge of Kiddush HaChodesh that we saw the new moon, so they will have to travel with another two people who will testify about them, that these people are Orthodox. They're not from the tzedukim. They're not from the baisusim. So the Gemara says they have to travel with, and even on Shabbos, when the Edom on Mechal Shabbos to say that they saw the Levana, so the two Edom who are testifying about them are also Mechal Shabbos, to say to the Bez Nagodol that these are Orthodox people, you can accept their testimony. So that's what the Avnei Nezer quotes at Rebbe Kibbega, quotes at Ritvo, quotes at Prichodesh, sources, and whenever, that's the same as the Machne Ephraim said, whenever you're giving Haggadah Seidus on a Gavra, then I treat it like Tov Shabiyev. Whenever you say, and Achepze, say this is kosher, this is treif, then I say, Erechad Nem Isur. So that was the question that we had over here. A person comes and he says, I am Jewish. So if it's on a Gavra, so you should really require two kosher Eidim. So how come over here? He never had two Eidim testifying that he was Jewish. He came and he said, on his own, I'm Jewish. The Tosef says, maybe in Yerushalayim, when it's Erev Pesach, there's a roif. How many non-Jews are interested in eating Korban Pesach? This, they only have recorded historically one person. Maybe there were 5 or 10, but there were thousands and thousands of people. So the roif of all the people are Jewish. So you can go baser roif. So maybe over here, they assumed that he was really Jewish because they went baser roif. But maybe in another case, well, you don't have a roif. A person comes to Bez and he says, I'm Jewish. A person comes to Shul. He says he's Jewish. He wants an aliyah. He says he has the artzeit. I don't know who he is. Maybe he's lying. Maybe he's not Jewish. Maybe he picked up Hebrew. I remember every year and a half or so, a group of galochim come to visit the yeshiva. So one of the galochim told us that he spent the year studying in Israel, his avodah zarah. There was a Catholic seminary in Eretz Israel. And then when he came back to America, he had to buy a transistor radio. So he went to such a store where they sell it. So the owner of the store was an Israeli and was talking in Hebrew to the customer who was in line before him. And he thought that the black minister. So he thought the minister didn't understand. And then when it was his turn, so he starts saying in Hebrew, he'd like to buy a transistor radio. So the man in the store almost fainted. He said, how do you know Hebrew? He says, he spent a year in Eretz Yisrael. So just because the person knows how to speak Hebrew doesn't necessarily mean that he's Jewish. So the question is, a man comes to shul, he says he has yartzeit, he wants a dam for an omen. Can we believe him that he's Jewish? So we always believe him that he's Jewish. The Tosafot says you can't really prove it from our Gemara, because maybe the roiv is that he's Jewish. Probably my case also, the man comes, he wants a dam for an omen, he says he has yartzeit. The roiv is, the likelihood is that he probably is Jewish, okay. But what if there'll be a case that there wouldn't be any roiv? Would you say Erechad Neman? So Tosafot says yes, and they prove it from other Gemaras, yeah. So we raise the issue, why shouldn't you require two kosher Eidim? If you accept this definition of the Machne Ephraim with the Avnei Nezer, that it depends on Chefza versus Gavra, putting it roughly like that. So why shouldn't we consider establishing whether a person is Jewish? That's you're ascertaining something on the Gavra. So why shouldn't that be considered a Dov Shabierva? So there are other Gemaras, forget about, this is Tosafot discusses saying that a person says, I am Jewish. If the din is Erechad Neman B'Yisurim, so even though he is the Baal Dover, we assume he would be believed. If it would be a Dover should be Erva, then the Baal Dover would not be believed. But if it's Erechad Neman B'Yisurim, then all the dinim, the Krivim Apsulim Leidus, all the dinim don't apply. And the Baal Dover would be good. So the Gemara has in other places, Nikra Din, a person comes and he says, I'm a Kohen, so we believe him. And with the Rabbanan, they made a Milo Asa B'Yuchsin, they introduced the Chumrah, that he needs Hakorim and Pi Acherim, either Eid Echad or two Eidim. That's different. Gemara's talk about the question, what was the nature of the Gzeirah of the Chumrah with the Rabbanan? That if a person comes and says, I am a Kohen, you don't believe him, do you need two Eidim to ascertain that he's a Kohen, or is it sufficient with Eid Echad? Well, let's say a couple comes to get divorced. And the man says, my name is so-and-so. I want to divorce my wife, Shine. And he gives her a get. And the Bezin, the practices in the last few centuries, in the days of the Gemara, when a man gave his wife a get, so the wife would hold on to the get, and that would be served as a shtar raya, that she was divorced by her husband. When he gives her the get serves as a shtar kinyan, to break the marriage, to create the gerushin. She holds on to the get afterwards, and it serves as a, after first serving as a shtar kinyan to create the gerush, and then it serves as a shtar raya, that she is mugoreshes, and when she wants to remarry, she shows the get, and that serves as a shtar raya, that she is divorced. So how do you know, how does the bezin know that this man is the husband? Maybe he's the boyfriend who wants to marry her. And he comes and he says, my name is, and he says the husband's name. And they write a get, and they give the get. Maybe this is the man she wants to marry, the boyfriend. So then they give a get. And then they go to a different bezin, and they say they want to get married. And the woman proves that she was divorced with this fake get that her boyfriend gave her. How do you know that the get was... How do you know the man comes and he says, I'm the husband and this is my wife? How do you know that he's telling the truth? So the Gemara says you always need hakorah mepi acherim. That's called hakorah, hakorah mepi acherim. In Aramaic, the word lahakir is ishtemoida, ishtemoida. So the Gemara has in Yevamos, when a woman gets divorced in the days of the Gemara, so she holds on to the get and the get services ishtarai. If a woman gets chalitza, what does she have to hold on to prove that she was divorced? So in the days of the Gemara, the practice was, this is a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Lamed Tes on the base. So the Gemara quotes the text of the Shtar Chalitza, the Get Chalitza. After the brother-in-law performs the Chalitza, so then the members of the Bezin authorize the writing of a document. They authorize the writing of a Shtar Chalitza that should serve as a Shtar Raya, that the woman had chalitza, she's permitted to remarry. So part of the text that the Gemara quotes is that the text was usually get written in Aramaic. So one line says, Ishtamoy de'inu, we have ascertained, we have recognized, we established that the man who did the chalitza is the brother of her deceased husband. They had the same father. If he's only a half brother and they had the same mother, then he can't do the chalitza. If the only brother he has is a half-brother from the mother's side, you don't need chalitza. But if he has a half-brother from the father's side or a full brother from the father and the mother's side, and then the half-brother from the mother's side is going to do the chalitza, that's not valid. So the document that the Bezdin authorizes to be written that serves as a shtar raya, that the almana, the chalitza, can prove that she had chalitza, the document says, ishtemoy de'inu, means hikar nuhu, we have established, we have recognized, that he is a brother of the deceased husband, sharing the same father. So the Gemara has a machlokes there in Yevamos Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, machlokes Amoraim. Ishtemodino, how many people have to ascertain? How many witnesses have to say that that they know for a fact that this is a half, at least a half brother from the father's side? Is it enough with Eid Echad, or do you need two Eidim? So the Gemara comes on Maskan of Ilchasa, Eid Echad is enough. Eid Echad is enough. I had, there was recently, a few years ago, there was a girl in Zurich who married a boy. So the girl already had graduated college, the girl had already gone to graduate school, whatever, for law, and the boy had barely graduated high school. He was not at all as educated as the girl. And after a few months of marriage, the boy felt so
inadequate.
Okay, the boy felt so inadequate, he committed suicide. So they didn't have a chance to have any children yet. So she needed chalitza. But she was so embarrassed to have, she lived in Zurich, she was so embarrassed to have chalitza there. So instead, they traveled, everybody lived in Zurich. The boy, the girl, and the brother, everybody lived in Zurich, but she was so embarrassed. So she with the brother of the Nifter, traveled to the London, to the Lozman. They have her Rabbonim in Zurich. They could have done the Chalitza there, but she was embarrassed because everybody would find out that the husband had committed suicide. I happen to be distantly related. That's how I know the story. But so they traveled to London. So they had to take an Eid Echad with them, because the Erecha had to testify that this is the brother of the Nifter, that this boy is a full brother of the Nifter. They shared the same father together. So the same thing is with respect to writing a get. You can only write a get if you ascertain that this man who claims that he's the husband, if he has at least an Erecha who says that he is truly the husband. Otherwise, how do you know that he's the husband? Maybe he's the boyfriend. They're going to get the Bezin to write a get. And then the Bezin takes the practice today. In the days of the Gemara, the practice was that the woman who received the get would hold on to the get, and the get would serve, first it serves as a shtakinya to create the gerishin, then she continues to hold on to it, that serves as a shtarai, that she is nizgarsha, that she's permitted to remarry. Today, the practice is for many centuries already that the bezdin who's misada the get takes the get back. After the woman receives the get, the bezdin takes the get and they keep it on their file, and then they give the woman a document, like in the days of the Gemara, if a chalitza was done, so there is no document, so the bezdin would authorize witnesses to write a document, or the bezdin would sign the document themselves. They would write, b'moisav t'losa k'chada havena, we constituted the bezdin of three, and the couple came, and they wanted chalitza, the ishtamoy de'inu, the hikar nuhu, we ascertained that he's taka, the brother of the nifter, mitzad ho'ov, achua demisnehu me'aba, and she did the chalitza, and she did the rikikin, and she said the psukim. You write in the text everything, and that document serves as the shtaraya. So just like in the days of the Gemara, when a chalitza was done, the bezdin would authorize, the bezdin has a right to write a document, even though there's no das hamischayim. Usually a shtar has to be written by the das hamischayim. The loiva has to write a shtar that I owe money to the malva. The witnesses can't write a shtar unless it's authorized, unless the writing of the shtar is authorized by the das hamischayim, by the loiva, or the moicher sells a field to the lakeach. So the mocher is losing ownership of the field. So the mocher has a right to authorize Adam to write a shtar. Witnesses who saw on their own can't write a shtar on their own unless they were authorized midas hamischayv. So here, where is the das hamischayv? There is no das hamischayv over here. So that's a din. When a bezdin has the right, that's a question. Where is the source in the chumash? But that's the din. Bezdin, the Gemara says, bezdin has a right to write a shtar regarding a get, a shtar regarding a chalitza, a shtar regarding the dimaminus. Bezdin has a right to write a shtar, even though there is no das hamischayv. So the Gemara says that you need Eidecha to ascertain by chalitza that this is really truly the brother of the nifter, and you need Eidecha also when you're giving a get. So the Gemara raises a question. There is a Mishnah in Gittin towards the end of the Gittin. The Romans at the time of the Churban Abayis would throw a lot of Jewish men into dungeons, into prisons, and they would die there from starvation. And some of them felt bad for their wives. No one would know that they're dying. So some of them would scream out from the bar, my name is so-and-so, my wife's name is so-and-so, I live in such and such a village. Please write a get on my behalf and give it to my wife so she won't have to suffer. She'll never know where I am. She'll never know if I'm alive or dead. So far, I'm still alive. So the Mishnah says, and the Mishnah writes, Kosvim v'nostam, they write the get, afal pishem akirim, even though they don't recognize the person. So the Gemara asks, but there's a din that you have to have hakorim and piachirim. You have to have ishtamo dino. You have to have at least eight echot to say that this is the husband. So the Gemara says, you see from this Mishnah that if you have a big shas ha-sakana, a big shas ha-tak, kosvim v'nostam, afal pishem akirim, you can write the get. The Edom can rely on what the man himself said. He said, my name is Pliny, I'm the husband, and my wife lives in this village. Please write a get and give it to her. So you see the B'shas HaSakana, B'shas HaKagodol, Kais V'Noisnin, Afal Pishayim HaKirim. When you look in Shulchan Aruch Ibn Ezer, the Pischa Tshuva on the bottom of the page quotes such an incident. There's a sefer called Beis Hillel. It's a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. So the Beis Hillel quotes, there was a Maaseh Shehayah, that a man and a woman came to the bezdin to do chalitza, and the man and the woman said, this is the brother of the nifter, and they came from such a faraway country, it would be impossible to bring another aid with them. Today, all the Jews are pretty wealthy, and everybody can afford to, you can fly from Zurich to London, no problem. So the almana traveled with her brother-in-law, traveled with the eidecha, everybody travels. But years ago, the Jews were very poor. So it says in the Pischa Tshuva and Ebenezer, quotes from the Sefer Beis Hillel on Shulchan Aruch Ebenezer, that the bezdin did the chalitza, ve'ein poitze pe'u mitzapsef, and nobody raised any objection because they came from a faraway country. It's impossible to expect of them that they should bring an eidecha. So what kind of a din is that? So the Ktzos HaChoshen is a Sefer on Choshen Mishpat. The Ktzos writes that this whole din that you need, hakorim and piacherim, this is only midrabbana. Min haTorah, the man is naman on his own to say, I am achua de misna me'aba, to say, I am the brother of the nifter from the father. The man is naman to say, I am the husband. It's only a chumra midirabbana, just like the Gemara says, a man is believed on his own. To say, I am a kohen, the notary's name to say, Zakai. It's only my loss of the yuchsan, it's a chumra midirabbana, that he has to have an eid echad, or two eidim. That's a discussion in the Gemara. How far did the chachamim go when a person comes and says that he's a kohen? If you want to ascertain for chalitza purposes, the Gemara paskins, la'aloch eid echad is good. And the same thing, that's the ishtamoydinu. The same thing for a get, eid echad would be good enough to ascertain who he is. But let's say by a wedding also. Let's say by a wedding. How do you know what the kala's name is? So if you know who the kala is, okay. But if you don't know, she's going to say what her name is. You're not supposed to trust her. You're supposed to ask no one else. Is that truly the kala's name? Or the kala's father's name? Or so on. So he's supposed to have hakarim and piacher. He's supposed to have an eid echad testify. So this whole din of eid echad by a kohen, an eid echad by the chalitza, an eid echad by the get. So the tzai says it's all midirabbanim. And atari, he's naman on his own. So the question is, why is he naman on his own to say he's a kohen, to say he's the husband, to say he's the yavam? Why don't you say the difference between a cheftz and a gavra with what the Machna Ephraim said, what the Avnei Nezer said? Whenever you want to ascertain something on a person, you have to have two edim. So Rabbi Soloveitchik touched on it a little bit in the shiurim. He raised the possibility that maybe it depends. He didn't fully develop the whole idea, but basically what he said in a nutshell was that to say that a woman is a soita asur al baila, soita doesn't happen by itself. To say that a woman is a grusha zayna chalala or an almana, a person is not born like that. She became a grusha later in life, a grusha, zayna, almana, something like that. That happened later in life. So that's what the Machna Ephraim says, that to say the person is a rasha, is possible eidim. So for that you need two eidim. So then the Avnei Nezer says, and to say the person is a religious Jew, that he's not from the Kat Hatzdukim, that he should be believed on Kiddush HaChodesh. So that's also, this is not a thing that a person is naturally born like a Russia. He became a Russia, they don't like to say he's not a Russia. So these kind of things, this we consider a Dovish of the Erva, Chaloshem Anagarva. But to say that the person is a kind, he was born a kind. Say the person is Jewish, he was born Jewish. So that should be really Eidecha Dan Bisu. The only time you say when you're ascertaining something on the Gavra, we consider it like a Dovish of the Erva, that's if it's some Chaloshem on the Gavra that happened later because of some event. Esh Yisish was Insa, and she becomes a Saita. The woman was a Grusha, Zayna Chalola, something like that. But just to say the person was born a Kayan and he's still a Kayan, the poor person was born a Jew, that should not be, that should be really a Rechonim. So why that should be so is a good question. That's Rav Soloveitchik suggesting. Difference between something that's naturally so on the Gavra as opposed to something that became so. Let's say to say there's a big discussion in the Rishonim. Boy and a girl want to get married. They don't know too much about each other's background. Each one knows that they're Jewish, right? And then an eid echad shows up and he says, they can't get married. They're brother and sister. I know for a fact that they have different mothers, but they have the same father. The father ran away from the first wife and he married the second wife. And this is mamash, a brother and a sister. They have brother. They have the same father. And they don't know. The boy and the girl never heard of it. They don't know. They just taka don't know who their father is. But they know their mother is Jewish. And then they were told that they're kosher Jews. There's no mamzeris involved. So that's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. Is that called the machlokes, the Ran and the Ramban? Is that called Eid Echad Emim Misurim? Is that considered a Dovish of the Yerva? Because you're testifying on a natural thing. A brother and a sister, and it's taka on the Gavra. But it's not really a Chaloshem on the Gavra. Chaloshem on the Gavra is like Gusha, Zayna, Chalola, something happened to create the Chaloshem. Here the person was born like that. So that's really, yes.
What about the idea that, like Moshe Soloveitchik, a lot of the briskers have, that with Chinuch, a Kohen really becomes Mamish Klei Mikdash? Wouldn't that make this problematic to say that he can say I was born a Kohen, but maybe he's not born, maybe to say that he's allowed to do avoda if he comes later on, let's say, it should not be talui b'that, that he's made a Kohen later on.
what do you mean he's made a claim? When he puts on the big day kuna, the Gemara said, "Bizmancha big day malayim kunas malayim." Yeah, there are two levels of kedushas kuna. There's kedushas kuna she big vulin. When the kohen walks around, he's not allowed to be metamei lemeisim, and he's not allowed to marry a grusha, and he's allowed to eat truma. And then, if he wants to have a kedushas kuna she b'migdash, he has to go to mikveh to elevate the level of kedusha. Has to put on a big day kuna. Bizmancha ain big day malayim, ain kunas malayim. Yeah, but whoever has a kedushas kunish abigvulman can elevate his level of kedusha to become kedushas kunish abamigdash by putting on the big dekuna. It's not that, and it's only temporarily. Once he takes off the big dekuna, he's going to revert back to become kedushas kunish abigvulman.
But can, meaning, would it be a different din then if a kohen comes and says, "Oh, you don't remember me, the Bayis Rishon was Nechrav, but I had my chinuch Bayis Rishon, and I should be able to continue doing avoda"? Would he need to aid him in such a situation?
I think the Rishonim say that even those Kohanim who brought their Minchas Chinuch and the Bayis Rishon, and then 70 years went by, and now they want to bring Karbon, they want to be Makar Kabbalis and Bayis Rishon, they have to bring another Minchas Chinuch. I think on Perek Eilu Megalchin, when Rav Kook passed away, so Machon Harry Fishel put out a big fat volume, a Likud of Rishonim and Moikotin. Because the first Perek and Moikotin has all the dinim of Avelus. So because all of the Jewish people was an Avelus over the passing of Rav Kook, so they put out this Likud. So I think one of the Rishonim that they have is Rabbi Nechil Miparis. So I think either he or the Tosfei HaRosh, I forgot, one of them points this out, that that's how they interpret the Gemara. The Gemara has a pasuk from Yecheskel that Kohanim who will come back in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni period, even though they already brought the Minchas Chinuch and the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni is not a hemshech of the Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Shlishi is a hemshech of the Bayis Sheni, but the Bayis Sheni was not a hemshech of the Bayis Rishon. Bayis Rishon was destroyed. Everything was utterly destroyed, and you had to start everything all over again. If there will be a client who was over Avoid and the Bayis Sheni, and he's of 2,000 years passed by, and he wants to bring Karbonis and the Bayis Shlishi, I don't know if there is such a person. So then maybe the Bayis Shlishi is the Hemshech of the Bayis Sheni. Maybe he wouldn't have to bring a new Minchas Chinuch. But from the Bayis Rishon to the Bayis Sheni,
they aid him. Then would he need to aid him? Because it's really a davar. It's on the Gavra, really, not since when he was born.
That could be. I mean, how to make himself. He had to bring the Minchas Chinuch. That could be. That could be. Very good. That could be. Yeah. Speaking about Avelus, there is a rush. There are much of Hilchas Avelus and Yeridei, at the end of Yeridei Chela Gimel, is all about Hilchas Avelus. And much of it is based on the Ramban and the Torah of Adam, and much of it is based on the rush in Perek Eilu Megalchin. So the rush in Perek Eilu Megalchin, the Rosh was a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg, who was the end of the period of the Bali Atesis. And he had the Maharam Rutenberg, who was put in prison by the Galician government. They wanted to hold up the Jewish community for ransom money. And the Rosh was a wealthy man. He was going to give a lot of money. He was going to raise the rest. And Maharam Rutenberg said, "You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to pay such an exorbitant amount of money." He said, "Let me die in prison. Don't give all that money." He said, "Even after I die, they shouldn't redeem my body either." So the government had nothing against the Maharam Rutenberg. He wasn't a criminal. So the Talmidim came every day, and on Shabbos when it would be cold, they go out in Shulchan Aruch, they would ask the Goyishe gods to please make the fire, that they shouldn't get sick, because Amir Lenachar is mutim amakam chol l'shem b'sakane, and haka chol l'metzah hatzino. If it's cold in the house, you may catch a cold. So everybody has the status of chol l'shem b'sakane. So to prevent one from becoming a chol l'shem b'sakane also, we allow Amir Lenach. So the Talmidim of the Maharam Rutenberg used to come to the prison. He used to tell them over dinim all the time. So the Haglois Maimon, he quotes, in the prison the Maharam Rutenberg told us, in Inzenheim or something like that, he quotes this, in the Mordechai, in the Rosh, the real Talmidim of the Maharam Rutenberg, in the Tashbeitz Kotten, there's a small sefer, Tashbeitz has all the Menhagim, Piskei Dinim and Menhagim, all the Menhagim of the wedding come from the Tashbeitz Kotten. So the Rosh quotes every so often with the Maharam Rutenberg. So the Rosh Moed Cotton quotes Maharam Rutenberg, "If an Eid Echad comes and tells me that a relative died, I have to observe Avelus. Why?" So instead of saying Eid Echad Nemen B'Yisurim, he gives a funny explanation. He says, because the Eid Echad would never tell a lie, because it's a milsa David Ilaglui, la Mishakri Inchi. The Gemara says, if a goy is selling eggs, and he tells us that the eggs are from a kosher bird, we can't tell by looking at the eggs on the outside. When we'll crack open the shell, we'll be able to identify based on what it looks like inside, whether it's from a kosher bird or non-kosher bird. Eggs from a non-kosher bird, let's say an eagle's egg. So just like an eagle is treif, so the eagle's egg is also treif. You're not allowed to eat it. So the non-Jew who's selling eggs in the street, he tells me that these are eggs from a kosher bird. He shouldn't be believed. And Anochi doesn't have them on his on kashrus because he's not really to observe the laws of kashrus. But the Gemara says, instance the milsa David Ligluye. In 5 minutes, I'll take the eggs home, I'll crack them open, I'll be able to ascertain whether they're from a kosher bird, non-kosher bird. So the Anochi is not going to tell a lie on a milsa David Ligluye if he knows he can be caught red-handed in the lie within 5 minutes. So the Maharam Ritmerk says the same is true regarding Eid Echud, who says that a relative died and therefore the relative should observe Avelus. So he says that's a milsa David Ligluye, and the Eid Echud will be believed. So the question is, why did he have to come on to this new explanation? It's a milsa David Ligluye, learn Shakrish, why didn't he just say, Eid Echud Nem Bisur? To observe Avelus. So Rabbi Chana Basaman has a very fascinating essay about this. And he says it'll be relevant for the next Gemara also that's coming up on Dalet Amud Aleph. So he says, by Avelus, the din requires Yediyas HaAvelus. Whenever the din, the Gemara talks about Shmo Kroivo versus Shmo Rechoika, did the person find out about the death of his relative within 30 days or after 30 days went by? So the Gemara says, if it's Shmo Kroivo, if he found out within 30 days, that's a Machloika Sarushan within 30 days of what? So some, we follow the opinion within 30 days of the death of the person. Others say, other Rishonim say within 30 days of the Kvura, the Keva Yisra of the person. But, so that's going to be later. That's going to be later. So we, the Chachma Sodom talks about this. So he says, whenever there's a Machloikas and Hilchas Avela, so we always go Lekula. We always go Lekula. That's what I mentioned yesterday. Someone called me up and told me I didn't finish the whole work. I said the Ramban in the Torah Sodom calls the Tosfos an Erevin, that we have in our Tosfos an Erevin, that whenever you have a machlokes halachik deramekal ba'ovel, we always go to kula and hilchas avelus. And that's a din deraisa. It's not only because avelus is midirabbanan. All avelus is midirabbanan, and you say sveikah derabbanan lekula. Even if Tosfos go to Chuvas Hagaonim. In the days of the Gaonim, quite a few of the Gaonim were of the opinion that the first day of Shiva is a din deraisa, Avelus Yom Rishon. If it's both the Yom HaMisa and the Hakvura, if it's both the Yom HaMisa and the Hakvura, the same day the person died, he was buried on the same day, so then the Gaonim and the Rif and the Rambam and the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch, the Sfardim bubble that opinion that Avelus Yom Rishon is deraisa. So Tosfos and the Ramban in the Torah Sodom quotes the Tosfos in Erevin, which we have exactly what the Ramban calls, that the Goyim said that even Avelus and Mishan is deraisa, you still say that Safik Avelus is Lekula. Because this is a din deraisa, it's based on the Pasuk in Chumash. Any Safik, and it's even greater than the din of Sveika Rabban Lekula. Sveika Rabban Lekula doesn't always apply. And here Safik Rabban and Safik Avelus Lekula even applies in more cases than Safik Rabban Lekula. So this is a machlokes, and the Rishonim that the Chachma Sodom talks about, where the Shmur Rechoika means the person found out about the death of the relative after 30 days after the death of the relative, or 30 days, more than 30 days after the Kvura, the Kevi Yisra. Let's say there was a case years ago, I remember. A boy was just from Manhattan and was getting married, and his father disappeared. The father was something wrong with the father, wasn't 100% there. He disappeared. They didn't know where in the world he had disappeared about a month and a half before the boy's wedding. They didn't know where the father was. They called the police and something, they couldn't find out. So very soon before the wedding, they found out what happened. The father had no identification on his body at all, and he died. Probably an overdose or something. I wasn't told the whole story. And after he died, they didn't know who he was. So the government has a potter's field. They have a cemetery where they bury people whom they don't know who it is. And every so often it happens that after the person is missing for so long, the police are contacted, and then they find out, oh, that person who is buried, we know who he is now. So they took him out of the Goyish cemetery, and then they buried him just, it was a few days before the boy's wedding. They buried the father in the Jewish cemetery. He was a wealthy man. The man was a wealthy man. Poor people are buried in potter's field. So the question was whether they're allowed to go through with the wedding. Is it in the middle of Shloshim? Is it in the middle of Shiva, in the middle of Shloshim? So we paskin l'halacha that we're makel on that. Shmur rechaka means if you find out about the death of the relative after 30 days of the Misa, it was like a month and a half after the father died. But it wasn't more than a month after he was buried in a Jewish cemetery. It was originally buried in the Goyish cemetery. According to the other Rishayim, it would be considered a Shmur Kareva. The Chacham Sodom writes, that's how we pass on the halacha, that halacha gibra mekel ba'ovo. Whenever there's any machloikas in Hilchas Avelos, we usually go lakula. Even if one would hold that, even if it's a case of Avelos Araisa, here it wasn't Avelos Yom Rishon, even if it would be an issue Araisa, you still you go lakula. So we say that it's a Shmur Rechaika, and Eina Nehagas of the Yom Echad. The Gemara has three different opinions in Maseches Ma'id Katan and Perek Elam Dach, the third Perek. Gemara has three opinions. One opinion is the Shmur Rechaika, if you find that after 30 days, it's the same. You still observe Shiva Shloshim, you observe everything. The other opinion is we don't observe Shiva Shloshim, only in the Haggis Yom Echad. Then there's a third opinion that we distinguish between parents as opposed to other relatives. If it's of the Imo and it's a Shmur Rechaika, then one does observe Shiva and Shloshim. If it's any other relative other than Avi Imai, then you say Shmor Achot is only Noigam Echad Bilvad. So we pass an eid by parents. We pass an eid by parents. If it's a Shmor Achot, you only observe Avelus Yom Echad. And the Gemara says on the next daf, you chisel down the Yom Echad and you say Mikta Sayyam Kikul. You're not observed the whole day. So you see from the halacha that it depends the a condition that's necessary to have the obligation to observe Avelus is that the living relatives, the surviving relatives, are aware of the death of the Korib, the Shmur, the idea Samisa. It makes a difference. Is it Shmur Korib or Shmur Rechaika? How much Avelus you're going to observe, whether you're Mechor or Shiva or Shloshim. So that's what Rabbi Chanan Basman has an essay. So he says, why did the Maram Rutenberg, the Rosh puts the Maram Rutenberg, that if an Eid Echad tells someone that a relative died, he can believe the Eid Echad, and he doesn't give the obvious reason why, because Eid Echad never be surim. You're not dealing with the nefashos adinim. I'm just talking about a mitzvah of Avelus. So why did the Maram Rutenberg have to come up with a new reason that that it's a little said that Avelus legloi lo mishakrin shad Eid Echad can never tell a lie. He's going to get caught red-handed in the lie. They're going to find out that the person is still alive. Why did he have to give it? Why didn't he just say, Erechanam Bisam? So Rabbi Chanan Basam explains, whenever the din requires yediya, so then it's only considered a yediya if you have two edim. Then Erechad it's not considered a yediya.
Is there a call coming from him for you for a critical shayla? Okay, when it comes in, you'll have to take it.
Okay.
Hello? Yeah, hold on.
Okay. I have to answer the phone. I'll be try to be back in 2 minutes.
Hello? Yes. Okay, good. Very good.
Bye.
and the doctor's call?
No, father. Yeah. Where else do you have cases where the halacha depends on yediyah? By Avelis, we know that it depends on yediyah. Shmor krevi versus shmor reika. So another case where it depends on yediyah is when you bring a korban chatas. As the pasuk says, "Hoda lov chatas hashachat olah." If a person is Shabbos is over and the person has a very uncomfortable feeling, he feels as if he must have been mechal Shabbos, but he doesn't know what. He doesn't know enough of Shabbos. He thinks he is probably mechal Shabbos, and then he's mafresh a korban. He's mafresh a korban because he thinks maybe he was mechal Shabbos. Then he learns the dinim of Shabbos. He finds out indeed, yes, he did some kind of a malacha that he never heard of. And then he brings the korban to the Beis Hamikdash. So Tosfos writes in Shavuos, in the first parak, that the korban is pasul, because a chatos is not bo ben ed men adova. You don't have the ability to be makdish a chatos until you have a hoda bal chatosa. You have to have yedias achet. Just because he has an uncomfortable feeling, he thinks maybe he was mechal shabbos, but that's not enough. He has to have yedias achet. So the Gemara in Yevamos on that Pei Zayin has a drash on the pasul. If an Eidechot tells him that you are Mechal Shabbos, the Eidechot is not Neman to be Mechayvim Achatos. You have to have two Eidim. If two Eidim tell you, that's called Yediyah. So whenever the Din requires Yediyah, that's what Rabbi Chanan Lachman says. Whenever the Din requires Yediyah, then you really should have needed two Eidim. So by Avelis, you really should have required two Eidim. But that's an exception to the rule because it's a Milsad David Legluye. This is a big topic. One is Erechad Nama B'Yisurim. What do you consider a Dov Shabiyarva and what not? Okay, we touched on a little bit part of this story. Then the Moran Dalad and Aleph has this famous story. The story appears in Moed Katan also near the Megalchen, that the Rav's family lived in Bavel, and he went to learn by Rabbi Yehuda Hanas in Eretz Yisrael, and after many years he got smicha and he went back. He was living in Eretz Yisrael, went back to Bavel to establish yeshiva. Rav Shmuel were both living in Eretz Yisrael, and they both went back to Bavel to establish yeshivas in two different cities. So when Rav came to Bavel, Rav was a nephew of Rabbi Chiya. Rav's mother was a... That's the phone that I'm supposed to answer. Okay.
So we started the Gemara of Rav Chiya. So Rav's mother was a half-sister of Rav Chiya, and Rav's father was a half-brother of Rav Chiya. They were not related to each other, but they were both half-brother and half-sister of Rav Chiya. So Rav Chiya asks Rav, is your father still alive? So he didn't answer him. He says, your mother's still alive. So the Gemara quotes it in the context that you shouldn't say a davar meguna, shouldn't say some bad news. That's why the minig is that when you hear good news, they call the bezur stavas, because good news is levaser. We want to tell other people. When you hear bad news, terrible news, that's called shmus roes. You heard it, but no one said it. No one wants to say it. Like the Gemara says on the previous daf, that one of the chachamim was deathly sick, and he sent one of the talmidim to see. And he ripped Kriya, and he didn't want to tell the people that he died. And he beat around the bush till he understood on their own that he died. So this is the same thing over here. The Rav didn't want to say the bad news. So, but Rav Kriya understood on his own. So, but it was a long time before. It was already Shmor Rechayka. So Shmor Rechayka, we pass in the Hegel Saliyai Mechad. So one only observes one day of Avelis. You don't observe Shivan Shloshim. You only observe one day. So Rav Chiya told, he wanted, Rashi says, Laharis Latamidin, he wanted to show the Tamidin what the din is. So he said he's going to take a shower right away, he's going to take a bath right away, so that they'll know the din, that Shmur Chayka is only in a Shmamin at last, Shmur Chayka in the Hekas of the Yom Echad Bilvad, that was one Machloikis Adanoim. Shmamin, that the Yom Echad, you can chisel it down by applying the rule of Mixus Hayam Kekuloi. Shmamino, that taking off your shoes is sufficient. Yeah, what do you mean? The Shmamino, that an Obel is also Benilos Hassan, everybody knows that. An Obel is not allowed to wear shoes. The Danoim will say like that. Shmamino, the Chiddush is like this. You only apply mitzvahs ayam kekulai. Excuse me for a second.
one only applies the din amiktsas and kekulai. If they did a mitzvah nihug on that mitzvah ayayim, take for example, where is the original pasuk on mitzvah yam kekula? The original din is not by avelus. There are more paskins like the Ashkenazim. They're all avelus. It's only by the rabbanon. Shiva shloshim bidbeis chodesh. Everything is only by the rabbanon. So where's the original pasuk in chumash for mitzvah yam kekula? The original pasuk is by azava. Azava has to have shiva nekiyim. Anida and Azava means the woman has a Riyas Dam and a marker, but the difference is Anida has the Dam, the Esni Dasa, the normal time, and the Zav has the Dam below Esni Dasa. When is it considered below Esni Dasa? So that's the Mishnah in the end of Nida says there's a concept of Yud Alef Yam Shevei Nida Lanida. When a woman is Anida, so she's Anida for 7 days, then the next 11 days immediately following those 7 days of Nida are called the Yud Alef Yom Shevei Nida, the Nida, that it's not normal that the woman should have a Riyas Dam at that time. In case she has a Riyas Dam in the Yud Alef Yom, she becomes a Zav. If she has a Riyas Dam 1 day or 2 days in a row, then she's only a Zav. And she has to make a Bdika the next day, and you see she's Tmeya for a whole day. And if she wants to chisel off that 1 day, she can apply Mitzvah Hayom Kekula, make a Bdika in the morning of the next day. And let's say she's in the middle of Yud Alef Yom Shevei Nida L'Nida. She had a Riyas Dam before the Shkia. And then she makes a Hepsik Tar. She sees there's no Dam Balayla. Then she has to wait till the morning and make a Bdika in the morning. Then she can go to Mikveh Menator. She can go to Mikveh in the morning. And that'll end the Tumas Ziva. And if she has a Riyas Dam 3 days, three consecutive days, 3 days in a row, during the Yud Alef Yom Shevei Nida L'Nida, then she becomes a Zavik Dola. Zavik Dola needs Shiva Nekim. So she has to make a Bdika. She has to make a Bdika to make sure the Dam ended before the Shki of the third day. If the Dam continued at night after the third day, then that day is a Yom Shein Anoki. And she needs Shiva Nekim. So she made a Hepsik Tar, she made a Bdika in her body before the Shkia, so she knows there was no Dam after the Shkia, so that will count as the first day she needs Shiva Nekim. So on the last day of the Malos of the Shiva Nekim, if she'll make a Bedika in the morning and she go to the Mikveh, you can apply the rule of Mikveh Sayam Kekulai, and she'll be Tohar. So that's based on the Pasuk in Chumash that says, V'sof Allah Shiva Siyamim V'achar Titar. What does it mean, V'achar? Could have said, V'sof Allah Shiva Siyamim V'titahar, she'll go to the mikvah, she'll be on why achar titar. So the Tanaim understood that drasha with the Torah, achar maisa titar. If she'll make a bedika in the morning, then you can say, then you can apply the rule of mikzis hayam kekulai. The original pasuk of mikzis hayam kekulai appears in the Chumash. The original drasha is a dindar, I said, get to azav and azav. It doesn't apply to a nida. If a woman is a nida, let's say a woman has a Riyas Dam on a Wednesday afternoon. So Wednesday through next Tuesday, she's a Nida 7 full days till Tuesday night. And then when Tuesday night is over, she can go to Mikveh. She has to make sure that there's no Dam on Tuesday night. If the Dam on Tuesday night, she just became a Zavaktana. But if there's no longer any Dam, she made a Hepsik Tara sometime, then she's Tmeya for 7 full days. You cannot apply Mixas Ayam Kekula to a Nida, because Mixas Ayam Kekula only applies if you do some Kiyum. You did some Kiyum that was required of you. The Nida doesn't have any Kiyum. There is no Kiyum. The Zava has a Kiyum. She has to make Shiva Nekim. She has to make Bedikas. So by the Zava, since on the last day of the Shiva Nekim, or if she's only a Zava Ktana, so she's only Tmeya for 1 day, Zava Ktana is Tmeya for 1 day, So she can make a bedika the morning of that day, and that's called mitzvah. She did the kiyum that she's supposed to do. So this then was carried over to avelus, whether avelus deraisa or derabbanan. Avelus is also a malos. Malos means a unit of time that's superimposed on the calendar. There was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Kara who lived in Italy, Ramam Ifanu. Fano is the city where he lived. So he, when Rabbi Yosef Kar wanted to publish his Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch, he sent the whole manuscript to the Imam Fano. He should supervise the publication. Because at that time, there were no printing presses in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yosef Kar lived in Tzfat at the time. So Imam Fano was a contemporary. So he has a collection of Shabbos and Chubas. And his Chubas, he discusses, why don't you say, and every Shabbos and Yom Tov, Mixus Ayam Kukulai, observe a little bit Shabbos and then go to Shul, Daven Shachris and Musaf, get an Aliyah, don't get an Aliyah, whatever, observe Shabbos, and then call it quits, then go to work. Say Mixus Ayam Kukulai. So he gives an answer that's very questionable. He says, Mixus Ayam Kukulai, the original source is by Tumah, by the Zav and the Zav. Achatita, achamaisatita. So Tumah is a negative thing. We want to shake it off. We want to get rid of it. Or we apply to Avelus. Avelus is a negative thing. We don't want to be in the state of Avelus. We want to get rid of the Avelus. So by Avelus and by Tumah, there you say, Mixam Kikul. But Shabbos, there's Kedusha and Yontif, there's Simchas Yontif. So we want the Masif Mechalala because we want to add on. We don't want to chisel off. So that's the reason why we don't apply Mixus Hayam Kukula to Shabbos and Yom Tov, because we want to be Moisif in Yoni Kedusha V'Simcha. So Yosef Engel quotes this in the Gil Yoni HaShas in the first parak in Nazir. Gil Yoni HaShas said what he wrote on the margin of the Gemara. So he quotes this and he says he thinks that this answer that the Rambam Lifanu gave is against the Gemara, because the Gemara has a machlokes regarding a Nazir. A Nazir, a man or a woman, someone is Mekabel Ned in the Ziris. It has to be in a minimum of 30 days. In the series, plus milamad yom, but it doesn't have to be in units of 30 days. A person can accept the mekabel naziris for 100 days, or for 50 days, or for 75. That doesn't have to be units of 30 days. So if a person was mekabel naziris, let's say 50 days, so there's a machlekes and migmara, and we paskin that you do apply mikzus ayam kukulai to the last day of the malos. So by Nazir it says Koroshiya Gadal Beres Arosh, one is Mekabel Naziris, is elevated to a level of Kedusha. So according to the Svar of the Rambam, he found that by Inyani Kedusha in Moisim Mechoel Al HaKadosh, so he shouldn't be allowed to say Mixam Kukula, so he rejects this idea of the Rambam. He found it. The answer is really a different answer. Why don't we apply Mixus Ayam Kukula to every Shabbos and Yom Tov? Is a different answer. The reason is because that's a calendaric day. So all day long is Shabbos, and all day long is Esther 12 Nisan. It's Yom Tov, it's Rosh Hashanah, and Kippur, Sukkot. The din of Mixam Kukul only applies when you're dealing with a malos. A malos means some unit of time that's superimposed on a calendar. The person is Mekabel and Ned in his ears whenever he wants to. So this is not, it's not a calendaric day. Or when someone dies, the Mikra, someone happens to die on a certain day. Or the woman becomes a Zav, or the man becomes a Zav. It's not a calendaric day. It's a unit of time that's superimposed on the calendar. So then we apply this rule of Mixus Ayam Kukulai. So Mixus Ayam Kukulai only applies, first of all, it's in Malos. You only say it on the last day of the Malos. You don't say every day of Shiva. You don't say, let him observe a little Shiva in the morning, then go to work. Then tomorrow he'll observe a little Shiva in the morning, go to work. It only applies on the last day of the Malos. Then also, the Gemara paskins that Mixus Ayam Kukul applies to the last day of Shiva and the last day of Shlosh. And what about the last day of Yud Beis Chodesh? If a parent passes away, so then one has to observe, in addition to the Shiva and Shlosh, Yud Beis Chodesh. What about, let's say, Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zayin Adar. So it comes the next year. Vav Adar is the last day of the Yud Beis Chodesh. So can you say Mixus Ayam Kukul on the Vav Adar? So Shulchan Aruch says you cannot. So the official reason that the commentary is given Shulchan Aruch, I think it's from the Trumas Hadeshin or the Maharik, one of the early Achronim. The official explanation that they give is that it only applies when you're working with units of days. Mixus Ayam Kekulai, when you're working, because it's learned out from Zavo, we need Shiva Yomim Mikim, days. So in Shiva Shloshim, you're dealing with days. In Yud Beis Chodesh, you're not really dealing with days, you're dealing with Chadoshim. So since the unit of time that you're dealing with is Chodesh as opposed to Yomim, that's why we don't apply Mixus Ayam Kukulai. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested Od Yeshleimer, perhaps another explanation why, totally different. Another, everybody knows that you don't apply Mixus Ayam Kukulai by the last day of Yud Beis Chodesh, but maybe one can give a different reason why. Maybe as follows, Mixus Ayam Kukulai only applies if you did some Nihug, if you did some Kiyum. So Shiva, there is a Nihug, and Shloshim, there's a Nihug. There's a Nihug is something the Kumbhya say. Shiva, the din is that Shiva, the halacha, requires Nivon Merubah. And Shloshim, the din requires Nivon B'miktas. whenever the nivel merube becomes too much merube, and it's already mitzdayer, let's say a person is not going to bathe for 7 days, going to be itching, scratching all over the place. So then that's already, anistinus is already permitted to bathe. That's the Mishnah in Brachas. Why? Because the avelus is only requires in Shiva nivel merube. It doesn't require mitzdayer. So once it reaches the point of anistinus, feels tsar, so that's more than the din requires. Let's say a person has to observe shloshim. After the shiva is up, the person observes shloshim. So shloshim, we require nivel b'miktsas. What if the nivel b'miktsas already crossed over the border and it became nivel merubah? One example is the oval is not allowed to put on clean clothing. He's going to wear the same shirt for 30 days. It's going to be dirk. It's going to be black. The shirt is going to be filthy. That's going to be nivel merubah. So the Pesach Tshuva writes in Yerideya, Pesach Tshuva usually is a liquid. Usually he quotes from early Rachrayim. It was written in the late 1800s. Over here, he doesn't quote anybody. He just says it's a double poshut, that if the nivel b'mitzas crosses over the border and becomes nivel merubah, then you're not mechuyev to observe it. It's a double poshut that it's mutter. And then in Yud Beis Chodesh, the neogavelis is even less. So there is no need for nivel at all. It's just mir tanugim. You shouldn't have tanugim. So mir tanugim is b'shei altas. It's not because there is no kiyum. There is no nihu gavelis in Yud Beis Chodesh. He shouldn't do tanugim. But let's say so people take a concept. They should be good looking. They should look handsome. What if the person looks like a shaggy dog? He hasn't taken a haircut in quite a while, and he looks awful. So then the din is, if the shloshim is up, if he looks awful, actually chaverov, his friends who were close to him would tell him, "You really need a haircut. You should go take a haircut." Then that's already an evil. And the halacha does require an evil, and Yud Beis Chodesh only requires mir tanugim. Or let's say in Yud Beis Chodesh, you're not allowed to go to a party. So you don't go to weddings. Yeah, but what if I want to move on with my life? I want to get married. I was never married before. I want to get married. I want to start raising a family. So if Elo Isho bought him, he doesn't have any children yet. Or if he has already 5 wives and he wants to bury a 6th wife, he's not allowed to marry a 6th wife. That's a mir tanugim. He's not allowed to marry another wife. But his 1 wife died, or he has no wife. He never got married before. He wants to get married now. So if Ein Lo Isha, Ein Lo Banim, he wants to move on with his life. So that's not called tanugim. He wants to do what's normal for people to do. So then you're permitted to get married in the Yud Beis Chodesh. So since Yud Beis Chodesh is only miyud tanugim, there is no kiyum, there is no nihu, bikum liyasei. There are no mitzvahs asei, there are only mitzvahs leisei in Yud Beis Chodesh. So the hasvar in the sense is that you can't apply mixes ayim kukula to the list. You only say mix ayim kukula if they did some nihu b'kum be'asei. So that's a question. The Mishnayos, the brises that are quoted in the Perek Elam Megachon, the 3rd Perek in Maseches Ma'akot, make it very clear that one is not permitted to wear shoes during Shiva. So the question is, wearing shoes is an iser? Wearing shoes during Shiva is an iser. Do you say taking off the shoe is a kiyum? Or you say no, he has to take off the shoes because there's an issa to wear shoes. If taking off the shoes is only in order to avoid violation of the issa, then Reb Chiya wouldn't be able to say mixes hayam kekula. Let's say they told him that his brother and his sister both died, so he's going to observe mixes havela. So he didn't, during Shiva, the din is one is asa berechitza, one is asa betashma shamita. So he didn't, so for 5 minutes he didn't do Tashma Shamit, he didn't do Rechitza. Why did he have to take off his shoes? He's already observing Mixas Hayam Kekula by not having, the answer is not having Tashma Shamit, that's not a kiyum, that's an Easter. Oval is also Tashma Shamit, Oval is also Berechitza, there's no kiyum. But taking off shoes, that's what the Gemara says, Shmamina, Tlash, Shmamina, the third Shmamina, is that the Oval is also Benilus Asandal, not just that it's an Easter, that it's a kiyum, that it's a new gavelus. And Shulchan Aruch, they have the same din regarding the situation. There's the dinim there in Moikotin. Let's say somebody died before Yantif, and the Ovel was there at the funeral, and he observed Mixas Avelus before Yantif. So then comes Yantif, and he cancels the rest of the Shiva. or if the Ovel is already in the middle of Shloshim, it comes Yantav, Yantav, Zechi of Simcha, Simcha Na'avelis, Aratate, Disastri. So if the Ovel is in the middle of Shiva, so Yantav cancels the remainder of the Shiva. If the Ovel is in the middle of Shloshim, Yantav cancels the middle of the rest of the Shloshim. So that only applies if the Ovel observed a Mikzas Ni'ugavelis before Yantav. Let's say a person is notified that a relative died. He gets a telegram. He's on his way to go to shul, the covered yomtiv. And he hears 5 minutes before he's going to shul to daven mincha. He's all dressed up for yomtiv. And he doesn't do anything before yomtiv. Doesn't take off his shoes. Doesn't do anything. He's all dressed up for yomtiv. So you wouldn't say that yomtiv cancels the shiva. Only if the oval observed. He observed also, he didn't violate Tashmid Amita. After he heard about it, he didn't violate Vechitza. He already took his shower for Yantav before. So that's not enough, that he didn't violate the Yisurim. If he was Noig and Mitzvahs Niho Gavelis before Yantav, then the din is that Yantav cancels. So that's what the Gemara is saying, that taking off not only is wearing shoes and Yisur Avelis, taking off your shoes is called the Niho Gavelis. It's considered a Kiyum of Avelis. And that's why you can apply the rule of Mikzah and Kekula, and that's why if the Ovel took off his shoes before Yantav, then we would say that Yantav cancels the remaining days of the Shiva. Yeah, this is an important Gemara. Yeah, the Geonim have, and the Oitzer Geonim on Masechas Tainus, they raise the question, why don't we apply Mikzah Sayam Kekula to Tisha B'Av? Why don't we say that it's one day of Avelis, and you say in our Gemara, even if the Malos is only one day, it's only one day. So just like in our Gemara, you say Mikzah Kekula on one day, so why don't you say by Tishba Mikzah Kekula? So perhaps the answer is, the Chus HaGadim don't give this answer. Perhaps the answer is that after the Chet HaMeraglim occurred, according to our tradition, the Chet HaMeraglim occurred, it came back on Tisha B'Av, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them at that time, Atem b'chisam b'chia shalchim, ani ek v'lechem b'chia l'dorus, that there was nothing to cry about, that the story the Meraglim told wasn't really true. K'chozakum yemenu, the Jews would have been victorious in the battle and conquering Eretz Yisrael, they were the days of Yishuv Benun. And they were crying for nothing, and they really shouldn't have listened to the Meraglim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's being koveya Tisha B'Av as a calendaric day of Avelus. So if you say that it's a calendaric day, ani yakvel lechem b'chiyah l'doros, Baruch Hashem is koveya that day as the day of Avelus, and then on the calendaric day, you can't apply to say Yom Kekula. Yeah, but then that's not going to explain Shabbos B'Tammuz. That's not going to explain Asara B'Tevis. What about the other Tanais? Why don't we say in the other Tanais, Mikzah Sayam Kekulai? There are Nihugim, when you do the Nihugim. So that's a question. That's a question. So somebody published some of the Shurim that Rav Salvechi gave on Tisha B'Av. So they published half of the Shia. They left out the punchline. So they published that Rav Salvechi quoted this Oitz HaGoyim, the Chivas HaGoyim. Why you don't say Mikzah and Kekula? So the Kvoter Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe it only applies if it's a malos of a few days, like Shiva, like Shloshim. It's only a malos of one day, maybe it doesn't apply there, but he showed that that's not correct. In Magdamar, you see that Mikzah and Kekula even applies if it's only a malos of one day. Malos doesn't have to be a series of days, even if it's only one day. So that's not the correct answer. That is not the correct answer. The Ramban in the Torah Sa'odam quotes a Machloikis HaRishonim whether you apply Mikzah Sayam Kekula only the morning of the seventh day or the morning of the 30th day or even the night before. So it's a Machloikis HaRishonim. So the Shulchan Aruch says, L'chumra, you only say Mikzah Kekula the morning of the Shiva, the morning of the seventh day, and the morning of the 30th day. The night before you don't say. But then the very next Sif, Shulchan Aruch quotes this din, and you say Mikzah and Kekula, and this Mikzah and Kekula can even take place at night. If they would have told Reb Chiya that his brother and his sister died. If he would have told him at night, he could have taken off his shoes for 5 minutes and gone to take a shower. It would have applied even balayla. So this is a problem. It's a steer between one sif and the other, one after the other. It's a contradiction. So one could have perhaps said, Rav Soloveitchik suggests, one could have perhaps said that there is no such din of, not that there are two different dinim, that Shmur Rechoik and Rehegas Yom Echad, and you can chisel down the Yom Echad by saying Miktsas Hayom Kukula. Maybe the whole din is Shmur Rechoik and Rehegas El Shalachas, only a bit of time. But that's against the Gemara. The Gemara said, the very Shmamino, two different Shmaminos, that it's Rehegas Yom Echad, and the Yom Echad you can chisel down by saying Miktsas Hayom Kukula. And the Gemara in Moedkot learns it after the Pasuk in Navi, when the Navi complains to Bnei Yisrael because they sinned, that's why the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed. I will convert all of your holidays into mourning periods. So just like Chagim, sometimes a Chag is 7 days and sometimes a Chag is 1 day. Shavuos is 1 day and Pesach is 7 days. So too, Avelis is sometimes 1 day and one time 7 days. If it's Shmur Kroiva, then it's Nohegis 7 days. Shmur Rechok is on Nohegis Yom Echad. So you see from the Gemara that it's not a din of Shoachas, it's a din Yom Echad, and you chisel down the Yom Echad to say Mitzvah Sayyam Kekula. So how come there's a contradiction? How come in one sif it says you only say Mitzvah Sayyam Kekula in the morning of the 7th day, and by Shmur Rechok it says you even apply it by Laila? So the Chayyodam has, at the end of the Chochmas Adam, he has a Matzevis Moshe. He had a son by the name of Moshe who died on Purim. And he complains about the fact that the Chevra Kadisha, as we're talking about during the lifetime of the Vilna Gaon, Chevra Kadisha in Vilna, where the Vilna Gaon lived, didn't know the dinim. They didn't observe all the dinim properly. So he has complaints about the Vilna Chevra Kadisha. And he has, Matzevis Moshe was to memorialize his son. He wrote another sefer, Sichur Teres Moshe, has all of Hilchot Shabbos there, also to memory of that son Moshe who died at a young age. So in the Matzevis Moshe, the Kuntris at the end of the Chochmas Adam, he has a few Shailos HaTshuvos and Hilchos HaAvelos. So one of them is, what if there's a big Shas HaDchak? Is there room to be makel to say, Miktsas Hayom Kekula Leil Shvi, the night of the 7th day, or do you only insist to wait until the next morning? So he says, Mikra Din, we really paskin that you do say it Balayla Baraya from the Miktsas Hayom Kekula by the Shmor Rechaika. It's just that we usually terminate the Avelis by having people come be Menachem Avos, so they come in the morning after Shacharis. So that's why we wait till the morning of the 7th day. But really, Mikra, then you can really say, if you have a big Shas HaDchak, Mikra, then you can really say, Miktsam Kekulai, the night of the 7th day. He has a situation where a person has to go on a business trip. Though he's sitting Shiva, he can't go on a business trip. So he's going to go after Miktsa and Kekula. In the morning, he's going to go on the business trip. But the din in the Gemara is, Ayotza Vadera Chayv Livka Nesishtoi. Before a husband goes on a trip, he's going to be away for a while. Has to be with his wife. So you don't say Miktsa and Kekula Balayla. So when is he going to be with his wife? Can't be with his wife in the morning. He has to run to leave in the morning. So he says, Miyikir Adin. That's a Shas HaTchak. Say Miyikir Adin. You can say Miktsa and Kekula Balayla Shvi. And he's allowed to be with his wife, Balayla. So whenever you have a Shas HaDchak, we revert back to Yikadin. Where did the Machlokes come from? Because by Zava, the Mishnah said the Farish, by Zava, she can't make a Bedika the night of the Shimon Akim, the night of the 7th day. The Bedika has to be by Yom. So the Gemara says, why? Because Sfira be Mama be Inan. That's the Lashon HaGemara Megillah. Sfira be Mama be Inan. So that's a Machloikas Achrayim. What does that mean? So we usually assume that Bedikas have to be made by Yom. The Bedikas is the Kiyum, is the Nihug that the Zava does. Zava and the Zava says, V'safa lo shibas Yom. The Bedikas have to be by Yom. The Hatchila we have in Shulchan Aruch, Adin Lechatchila, the Zava should make 2 Bedikas every day. One bedikah when she wakes up in the morning, one bedikah at the end of the day. So the end of the day means before the shkia. And when she wakes up in the morning, means she wakes up chatchila after her netzach hama. That's the Mishnah in the Gilah. We spoke about it the other day, about the raiva. Dovash and mitzvah sabayayim should be done chatchila after her netzach hama. Shouldn't be done before her netzach hama. But the Yebed, if you did it after Avos and Shachar, it would be good. So the Zavah L'chatchilu should not make a bedik and go to mikveh after Alos HaShachar, rather should wait till after HaNeitzacham. Let's say the woman has to go, she has to go to work, and she has to go to college. And sometimes HaNeitzacham is too late. Sometimes HaNeitzacham is 7:30 in the morning in New York. She has to leave the house before that, okay? So it's after Alos HaShachar, that's a Shas HaTchak. So the Shas HaTchak we would be mekel. Shas HaTchak we would allow. The Chatchila would usually is only acceptable b'dikah. Let's say the second b'dikah that you make is sofayom, that should be made before Shkia. So Moshe Feinstein has it, truly he writes, and if she didn't make the b'dikah before Shkia, if it's still Bein HaShmashes, so she should make the b'dikah Bein HaShmashes. But if she missed it, she was in the office, or she was in school, whatever, just turned out that she couldn't make the b'dikah, she forgot all about it, she didn't make the b'dikah until it was already Tzeisa Kochavim. So then you don't gain anything by having a b'dikah balayla, because the Gemara says, Sfira b'mom and b'ina. So that's what we assume. The reason why you don't say mixes ayam kukula by zova balayla, that's beferish and mishnayis, that's because the nihug, the kiyum that you have to do, is the b'dikah, and the b'dikahs can only be done by yam, because the pasuk says, the safala shivas yam, safala means the b'dikahs, after dinan shivas yam, by yam balayla. But Avelis is not Bein Bayom and Bein Balayla, the exact same thing. So others disagree. I think Chazanish holds all B'dikas can be done Balayla. And with the Gemara says, Sir, B'mam and B'ina, it just means that you don't say Miksam to Kula Balayla. Yeah, but that's what the Chochmas Adam says. We don't pass like that. Chochmas Adam says that since the Gemara says by Rapriya that you apply Miksas Ayam Kukuloi even to Yoy Mechod, not only when you have 7 days of Shiva, you have 1 day of Avelis and Tes Avelis like Shiva, and the Shulchan Aruch says that can even be Balayla. Mechabes make a living Balayla. So that shows me, correct, then you say even in Shiva, the last day of Shiva, also say me exempt to call Balayla. So why is there a difference between Avelis and Zobah? So the answer is because Zobah, the Nihu that you have to do, the Bedika has to be Bayom. It's not a din that you don't say me exempt to call Balayla. You do. You can say Balayla. But you have to do the nihug. So the nihug by Avelis is the same by Yom HaBalayla. But the nihug by Bedikas, by the Zohar, Bedikas have to be done by Yom. That's where Moshe holds like that. That's, I think that's more accepted than the Chazanish. Chazanish was a Yotzim and a Klal Sheet over here that you can say Mikzam Kekuloi Balayla. Pashtus is a Dikan if there's a nihug Balayla.